So we're, as we're talking about Numbers, that it's that wandering in the wilderness, and it's their unfaithfulness versus God's faithfulness. And again, we see it over and over again, how they did the wrong thing, how they grumbled, how they complained. They complained about Moses and his leadership. They complained that they never should have left Egypt. They ought to go back. They complained. God has given them manna from the sky every day to feed them, and they complain about that. God gives them quail because they complain about the manna, and they complain about that. God gives them water out of a rock in the desert when they're thirsty, and they complain about that, you know? So there's no question the Israelites were Baptist. As a Baptist pastor, if you ever had any doubt, Numbers demonstrates that. And so they complained, but in the midst of that, God forgave them, God blessed them, God provided for them and their needs. And so that's what the story of Numbers is all about. Now, I want us to begin, like I said, now this, I don't know why Bill didn't pick, Wilkes didn't pick this to be in our D-Life books, but when I think of Numbers, two of the passages I think of is chapter 6 and the Nazarites. We're not going to talk about them, but I do want to look at the end of the chapter. And that's what we call the priestly blessing, or the Aaronic benediction. This is the blessing that Aaron prayed over the people of Israel. And you've heard me talk about the blessing I prayed over the kids when they were little. I pray over the grandkids now. Often it will contain a good bit of this language in it. We talked about a few weeks ago about God seeing what it meant for God to talk to Moses face to face, what it meant for Jacob to see the face of God at Peniel, and what it meant, and the fear of seeing God and live and dying because of seeing God. But here we see that positive side of God's face and God's presence and God's attention that is part of the blessing. And so I want us to kind of look at that a little bit tonight. And so let's read the blessing together, and then let's talk about it real quick, and then we'll move on to chapter 13 and 14 and talk about it some. The Lord, and I'm being optimistic, but let's look at chapter 6, verse 22. And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless." Now, the first thing I want you to notice about those three words, and I want you to remember my definition of a blessing. When we bless somebody else, that's what's going on here. The priest is blessing the people. And I don't do it, we don't do it every Sunday. We usually close our service with a prayer, but sometimes when I do that, it'll become what we call a benediction. I'll pray. But I'll also extend my hand toward you and I'll pray some of these kind of words or some of the blessings we see in Psalms or in the New Testament. And at a wedding, I always end with praying a blessing over the couple that's getting married. And when I pray again with my children or my grandchildren at night and I lay my hand on them, I pray for God to make his face shine upon them. I pray for God to give them peace and to protect them. And so the first thing that I want you to see is that a blessing, when we pray a blessing, the first thing I want you to notice how each of those verses start. And it's significant. It says, "The Lord bless you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord turn his face towards you." And you'll notice, and you probably already know this, but you'll notice that Lord is all four capital letters there. And whenever you see Lord in all four capital letters, that's what we call the tetragrammaton, which means the four letters, okay? And in Hebrew, that's the word that we usually call Yahweh. It's what it'll be the word that the King James usually translated as Jehovah. And that's the four letters. And the reason they call it that is because the Jews didn't write the vowels with that name, Yahweh. They thought it was too holy. After years, about 400 years later, not at this time, but they would quit saying the name. And instead, whenever they came to the name to read it, they would say Adonai instead of saying Yahweh. And Adonai is the common word for Lord. And so when you see in your Bible, Lord, capital L-O-R-D, is small case, that's usually the Hebrew word Adonai. And we see that Lord God a lot. And it's with this one capital letter. And so that's that title, Master, Lord. But when you see the four letters all capitalized in Hebrew, that's the word Yahweh. That's the name. That's the name that he gave Moses in Exodus chapter 3. This is my name. I am who I am, who I will be. That's what Yahweh means. And so that's the personal name of God. That's the covenant name of God. Now, something else about Hebrew is when you have a phrase like this, where you've got multiple sentences with new verbs, the verbs contain the pronoun already. And so often, they would just write the name once, and then you would just have the sentences. So in English, it would read like, "The Lord bless you and keep you, and may he make his face shine upon you, and may he turn," but they wouldn't use the name again. But you notice here, it uses the name all three times. And that's special, that's for emphasis. It's because it's reminding them, who is the source of blessing? It's the Lord. All of this comes from God. And this is not just God the Father. This is Lord. This is his personal covenant name that has a relationship with him. And so the blessing comes from our relationship with God. That's the source of the blessing. So when Aaron prayed this blessing over the people of Israel, he was reminding them that all of our blessings come from God. You know, the book of James tells us what? That every good gift is a gift from God. Every blessing, everything we have that's good came from God. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. You haven't achieved it. It's been a gift from God. Everything we have. And so that's what he's reminding them with that blessing, that it comes from Yahweh. Yahweh. Yahweh did this. The Lord did this. The Lord did this. The Lord does that. And then it ends with that little phrase after they prayed the blessing. God tells them, "I will surely bless you." And by the way, the way they write "surely bless you" in Hebrew, they write the verb twice. So it's, "I will bless you." And actually it says, "I will," it's an adverb. "I will, in blessing you, I will bless you," is how it says. And we usually translate, "I will surely bless you." And so again, it's showing that intensity with that repetitiveness of the word. And to do it three times is really indication that it comes from God. And then God says, "I will bless you. Your blessing is going to come from me." And so God is Israel's source for all grace, for all blessing, for all hope, for all provision, for all peace. It all comes from God. And so that's the first thing that he is teaching us, that it comes from God. And notice that each one of them begins with the Lord as the subject, with God as the subject, Yahweh as the subject, And then it has two verbs that go with it. So it's all it's this parallel poetry that they pray. And so the Lord, and even translated into English, we still feel that kind of that movement of that poetry, don't we? It's that poetic sound. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And so we see that subject followed by two verbs. And the second one always expands. The first one is good, but the second one always expands it even to something bigger. And so that's how we'll look at it. So may Yahweh bless you and keep you is the first one. And again, what is a blessing? So let me remind you, the Bible talks about three kinds of blessings, right? We bless God. Well, we can't do anything for God, can we? So when we talk about blessing God, we are praising Him for what He's done for us. Okay? So we bless God. God blesses us. When God blesses us, what does that mean? That means He provides for us. That means He does something for us that we could not do for Himself. So we bless God when we remember what He's done for us. He blesses us when He does those things for us. And then the third way is what we see here, and that's when you bless somebody else. And so here, Aaron, as the high priest, is blessing all of the individuals of the nation, praying this prayer over you and over them. And what I said, and often, you know, when I do it as a benediction at the end of our worship service or when we're in a crowd, or even when we bless our children at baby dedication, or we bless or pray over our students or something, it's that outstretched hand is a sign that if it's one individual, that we just put it on their head, right, and bless them. And so I'm asking God to bless you. And so if you'll remember, my definition for a blessing is with appropriate touch, often putting your hand on their head, you're asking God to do something for that other person that they can't do for themselves and you can't do for them. So when I pray a blessing over my children, I'm asking God to keep them pure. Why? Because I can't keep them pure. I'm asking God to protect them. Why? Because there are things I can't protect them from. You know, when I'm asking God to be gracious to them because there are things I can't show grace to them for. But God can. I'm asking God to change their life. I'm asking God to do what only He can do and things that are beyond my ability to do. And so when we pray a blessing on someone else, we're affirming them. We're saying, you have value to me, and I'm praying. It's just a prayer asking God to do something for them that we can't do for them. And so look at what he prays. He says, may Yahweh bless you and keep you. So two things. Bless you. That's provide for you. That's protect you. That's make his abiding presence real in your life. And so he prays that blessing on them. The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord provide for your needs. May the Lord keep you. May he protect you and keep you safe. God's abiding presence is what he's praying over them. And because of this, because of the blessing on Israel, remember back to where this started with the covenant in Genesis chapter 12 with Abraham. Remember, he says, I'm going to what? I'm going to bless those who bless you. And I'm going to curse those who curse you. That God's protection on him. But also, what did he tell Abraham, the father of the country? What did he tell him? He said, through you, all of the nations would be blessed. So Aaron's playing this blessing over Israel, but it's through them that everybody that's going to come after them is going to be blessed. And we know, of course, through Jesus and through him being born through Abraham's, as one of Abraham's descendants. And so Yahweh's blessing on his faithful people, Israel, was in turn his instrument to bless all the nations of the world and to even bless us today through Jesus. And so that's the blessing that he's praying on him. One of my favorite blessings in Psalm 67 kind of plays off of this, but I want you to listen to it. This is Psalm 67. It's the first two verses if you want to look it up later. It says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us. May he make his face shine upon us, that your ways will be known on the earth and your salvation among all of the nations." So the psalmist says, may God be gracious to you. May God bless you. May he make his face shine on you. The words that we see here, so why? So that the whole earth would be blessed because of you. So that you can let the world know who God is and what God's done. And so that's why we're blessed. We're blessed to share that blessing with other people. So may Yahweh bless you and keep you. The second phrase is, may Yahweh shine his face on you and give grace to you. Now, we were busy talking about other things, so we didn't talk about it a lot the other night when we were talking about, you know, why can't you see God's face and live? And again, it's because of the holiness of God. But yet you have Moses talking to God face to face. And I remind you that when God hid Moses in the cleft of the rock, that it was his glory that he saw, not God's face that he saw. It was actually the back of his glory that he saw, not God's face at all. And though Jacob wrestled to him and said, I saw God's face, still it was in a manifestation of the man that he wrestled with, not God in all of his glory. And if you want a picture of that, I always like Ezekiel chapter 1, where he describes God on his throne, and he says it was like God. No, it was like the appearance of God. No, it was like the manifestation of the appearance of God. No, it was like the glory of the manifestation of the appearance. Because I couldn't see God. I couldn't handle that. I can't describe that. All I can handle is 4 points removed, because that's as much as I can handle. But this idea of God looking on your, shining his face on you. And it's that picture of him looking at you and giving you his attention and paying attention to you, not turning his back on you or turning his face away. That would be cursing you, you know, when he turns his face away from you. But when he looks on you with favor. To make his face shine on you means to give you favor of his attention, his love. Have you ever had somebody look at you and you see love in their face? That adoration, maybe from a grandchild or a spouse or someone else, and you see that love on their face. Imagine the love that's on God's face when he looks at us. In his unconditional, undeserving love. And so he looks at his face, shines on us. And it's that blessing from God. So when we pray for God to make his face shine on you, we're talking about, we're asking God to look on them or to look on us and show us his grace and his favor, to pay attention to us. And again, I remind you, when you're being bad, I didn't want my dad paying attention to me, right? But when I'm doing something good or when I needed help, I wanted my dad paying attention to me. And so we want God, Father God, paying attention to us and helping us, being there for us. Psalm 80 says it this way, "Restore us, O God Almighty. Make your face shine upon us that we may be saved."
I'm calling you back.
And then Psalm 44 says, "By your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you love them." So the light of God's face, the shining of God's face, again, is showing his favor and his love upon us. It's showing us his good pleasure the things that he wants to do us. And then he ends by saying, "And God, be gracious to me. Make his face shine upon me. Be gracious to you." We know it. We talk about grace all the time. What is grace? Grace is when God does what we don't deserve. It's his attitude of kindness toward us a superior party toward an inferior party that has no claim or no right. We can't earn His grace by obedience. That would be compensation. Nor can God's grace be annulled by our unfaithfulness. But instead, God extends His grace out of His steadfast covenant love for us. And that His determined will is to bless those whom He desires. That's what Exodus 33:19 says. That He wants to bless those that He desires. He wants to bless us. And so His grace is not something we've earned. And it's something that He's determined to give to us to show His love to us. So His grace. So may the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious, show His grace to you. And then that last phrase is where it really all culminates. Where He says, the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Now, this translation says the Lord turn His face on you, and that's good. That's kind of actually what the verse before says, make His face shine upon you. What this verse in Hebrew literally says, may the Lord lift His face toward you. And the phrase lift His face, when you lift your face, what happens? When you cast your face down, you frown. But when you lift your face, you smile. So a good way to translate this would, may God smile upon you. May God smile upon you. So think about that. God, the majestic smile of God over His people and over each individual. And when He smiles at us and gives us peace. The psalmist says the Lord's presence is a radiating divine favor in the midst of His people. They can confidently expect Him to pour out His covenant mercies upon them. And then give you peace. And you know that Hebrew word, shalom, peace. Peace means completeness. It means unity. It means well-being. It means prosperity. It means health. It means security. It really, literally means wholeness, being complete. God, without God, you're incomplete. But when God smiles on you, He completes you. He gives you salvation. He gives you that relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. He brought us peace. Isaiah 53 says God brought us peace through His suffering. And so the angels on the night that Jesus was born, what did they say? They say, peace, peace upon those whom God's favor rests. So in the context of the Holy Spirit, Jesus told His disciples, He will give you peace. The peace of God will shine upon you. And then in John chapter 14, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give it to you like the world gives it to you. So do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. The peace of God that comes from His look and smile upon your life. And so that attention, that's what we want. We want to see God's face as He looks upon us and blesses us. And when He does that, then they end with, God reminds him after, this is what you tell him, this is what you pray, and after you pray this, I will put my name on Israel, and I will bless them. And so the name of Yahweh is put on His people by His blessing. Not because we deserve it, but we're called by His name because we have been blessed by Him because of the peace He's provided for us, for the blessing that He has given us. What do we call ourselves today? You know, the church started with lots of different names. But what do we call ourselves? Christians. Why? What does Christian mean? It means little Christ. Yeah. We have His name put upon our lives, but not because we deserve it, but because He has blessed us and saved us and given us. And because of that, we receive His blessing. We carry His name. And we will experience the blessings of being in a relationship with Him. All right? So that's the priestly blessing. And we're not even going to get to chapter 13. Chapter 13 is good. That's where they send out the 12 spies into the land. It's where Joshua's name is changed from Hosea to Joshua. Hosea means salvation. Joshua means Yahweh saves. And, of course, the Greek form of Joshua, Yahshua, is how you say it in Hebrew. And the Greek form of Yahshua is Jesus. Yasis in Greek, Jesus. And so Yahshua was Jesus' Hebrew name. And it means Yahweh saves. All right. And so the 12 go out. The 10 come back. And they all agree that it was what God promised them, a good land. They even bring back this huge thing of grapes to show everybody. And then 10 of them say, but we can't go in because they're all bigger and tougher than we are. And what they saw were the obstacles in front of them instead of the blessings and promises that God had for them. But Caleb and Joshua saw what? The blessings that God had for them. What God wanted to do for them. And they knew God could overcome those obstacles. But who did the people listen to? They listened to the 10. Now what that tells you, a couple things for Baptist life I usually point out. One is 12 people are too many for a committee. Okay. But the other thing is that it's not the majority that's right. It's those who do what God says that are right. And so what that's important for us to remember in our society is not what the majority of people say. It's what God says. And our question is, are we going to agree with God or are we going to agree with everybody else? And we need to make sure that we agree with God. Joshua and Caleb, in verse 30, you see, they say, let's go up. Let's go. God promised He'll give it to us. But the others said, nope, we look like grasshoppers compared to them. And the majority prevailed. Israel rebelled. And remember again what happened in Numbers. They rebelled. They complained. They were frustrated. God had to punish them. And so they suffered the consequences, and that was wandering in the wilderness for 38 years. And the only two people who were adults at that time who went in were who? Joshua and Caleb. And why? Because they believed and trusted God. So that warning for us. All right. Any other questions about your reading or... if you have them, Frederick will be glad to answer.
It reminds me of the New Testament where it says, do all things without murmuring or complaining, that you may become blameless and harmless children without fault in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation, in whom you shine like stars in the universe, holding forth the word of life.
That's right.
It reminds me of the murmuring, complaining.
That's a good. That's one. That's a preacher's favorite verse too.
Their focus is on we can't do it. We can't do it.
And
they
never
talk
about the Lord.
They never focused on God. And look, what had God already done? God had already brought them out of slavery. He had already crossed the Red Sea with them. He had already given them the Ten Commandments. They'd seen the earthquake. Shake. They had seen the smoke on the mountain. They had and the fire by night and the cloud by day. He made manna fall from heaven. He'd given them rock, water out of the rock, and yet they still didn't trust Him and believe Him and follow Him. And the same is often true for us. Even whatever God's done for us, that we still miss the vision. But yeah, one of my, you hear me quote Peter Lord all the time. One of my favorite Peter Lord quotes is, "And instead of learning all of the Bible, what if you learn one verse and you did it? What if you learn do all things without grumbling or complaining? And didn't just learn it, but you did that. How would that change your life?"
Yeah. Well, that's the treasure of learning Scripture, because when I start complaining, then I remember the Scripture that I shouldn't complain. I know what you're telling me.
And if you want motivation for not complaining, read the book of Numbers, because what happened? The earth swallowed them up, the fire came and consumed them, the fiery serpents, which was what I'm going to talk about in a couple of weeks, came and bite them. So it's, don't complain. All right, well, let's pray together. Father, thank you for your presence and for your word. And Father, I do pray, may the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious to us. May the Lord lift up his face toward us and give us peace. And will you bless us, Lord, and bless us so that we can bless others. Bless us so we can become the church that you've called us to be. Bless us so that you will be exalted and praised. We give glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.